My friends, did you know that Jesus Christ wants you to be poor? And in fact, so much does he want that being poor is one of the greatest gifts you can ever receive. It is the first step in that ninefold spiritual ladder of the Beatitudes. And in fact, poverty is the only real way that you can enter into the spiritual world. The more intense your poverty, the more intense your entrance. So now that I've lost about half of you because of that difficult statement, you need to stick around because we're going to explore this beatitude. We're going to go into its secrets and unlock how it's misunderstood and the great power that is held for us in poverty. So when we look at the world that we live in, it's amazing. It's so much transformed from the world of Jesus. Wealth is everywhere. It's at our fingertips. It's in front of us. It's all around us. Even in poor countries, there is so much more wealth than there was maybe 100 or 200 years ago. But anyone who has a lot of wealth knows how much it can be a trap. So for instance, you buy a new car, but you can't just buy a car. Now you have to buy the warranty, and now you have to get new floor mats, and now you have to buy a washing service to keep your car clean, and now you have to keep everyone away from your car because you don't want it dinged. And it's like that for every single thing that you buy. Herein comes the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So this is the first step in that spiritual ladder, and we have to understand what Jesus means, how are we to interpret it, and how are we going to live it out. First thing that we should take note of is that this is the very first thing that Jesus talks about. Matthew presents this as the first major statement that Jesus speaks to the crowd, and he lays out very specifically that everything comes after that. And we should take note, because when Jesus lays out something first, it sets the pace for everything else. And you cannot go over that first one and get to those others. You have to pass through that first step, that first rung on the ladder, that first door. If you want to even continue following Jesus, you have to follow him one step at a time. And it's amazing and should raise up our ears and make us listen that the very first thing he talks about is money and our relationship to it. Now, in the previous video, I spoke about how the Beatitudes relate to the parts of our body. The first two to our feet. Now, as it stands, it's like our feet are nailed to the earth. And Jesus wants them to be free, unnailed, and nailed to the cross, because that's where we find real freedom. Now, the first thing that we need to deal with is our relationship with material possessions. We do not want to have our feet nailed to the ground, nailed to earth, because we will never enter into the spiritual world. We will never have that desire to go up and into heaven. This is the best way in how to interpret this beatitude. We need to have only the possessions that we need in order to accomplish the mission that God has for us. Everything else is keeping you nailed to earth and away from heaven, and everything else will keep you from growing as a spiritual person. Now, even getting into that reality can be so confusing, again, because of the rich world that we live in and because of misinterpretation of the word blessed. Now, all of you have heard of the gospel of prosperity, where when they speak of being blessed, they mean being rich. They mean having lots of possessions. In fact, I remember often how this one person would speak about, "I'm blessed. God has blessed me." And what did he mean? He meant that he was rich. He meant that he had a good job with a lot of money. And he interpreted all blessing in that way. Well, guess what? The people at the time of Jesus thought the same thing. They thought that being blessed meant being rich. And they saw the poor as cursed and the rich as blessed. We have that exact same mentality today. And Jesus comes to tell us the exact opposite. No, those of you that are rich are actually cursed, because you're nailed to the ground, you're caught up in your possessions, and you're distracted from spiritual realities. And those of you that are poor are actually the ones that are rich spiritually. Now, Jesus goes further than just saying, "Blessed are the poor." He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Now, some people, those that are, I would call slackers and the lazy people, say, "Oh, well, see, what he means by that is you can be really, really rich, but as long as you have kind of like a detachment in your heart." And that's not exactly accurate. What Jesus means is not only must you be materially poor, but you must be poured down to your spirit, even in the very depths of your spirit. So you must even be spiritually poor. So you need a poverty that is twofold, as intense as possible. Whenever Jesus says something, a good rule of thumb is interpret it as intensely as possible. If you do that, you will not be led astray. Now, why would he say that? Because pretty much everyone that has a lot of possessions, because of the things that I've been saying, will be entangled by them. That's why when the rich man comes to him and asks, "What must I do to enter heaven?" He has that whole conversation. What does Jesus say? It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter heaven, which is saying, no, do not just be rich and have a poor, detached heart, because it's just simply not going to happen. Now that we understand and have a basic understanding of that first part of the Beatitude, we need to pay attention to the second part. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you have that courage and if you strive to be as poor as is possible, you will get the kingdom of heaven. And what is that? How can we describe the kingdom of heaven? Let me give you this analogy and this metaphor. So several years ago, I was at a World Youth Day in Krakow, Poland. And at the end of every World Youth Day, they have this amazing overnight event where you have a mass with the Pope and there are millions and millions of people sleeping outside. And it's just this unbelievable experience of prayer, of music, of fellowship, of the sacraments, of getting to know people from all over the world. That's the kingdom of heaven. And how does that happen? Well, all of those people have to sleep in sleeping bags, have to sleep outside, have to eat just whatever you can get your hands on, and you have to basically have as little as possible. That allows all 1.5 million people or more to sleep out on this field, to just engage with each other. And it's interesting because in sacrificing all of these creature comforts, you have this amazing experience with other people that you could never have if you were staying at a hotel, if you had a big, big fancy house and big car and all these air conditioning and all these crazy things. You could never have such intense spiritual experiences. And that experience is something that I will never forget. And it teaches me the power of poverty and the treasure that is truly hidden. Now, poverty of spirit is so much more than just being poor and the kingdom of heaven. Remember, Jesus places this at the very beginning and the first thing in speaking of how the disciples are supposed to be. Where does he get this? Where does he get this idea of poor in spirit? And what is he trying to create in us? Well, when understood correctly, the first beatitude has hidden within itself all the rest of the 9. And if you see it accurately and you unpack it, you can see how this one leads to the next and then leads to the next. The scriptures have this way of containing in the first the biggest and the brightest jewel. So let me give you an example from the Old Testament. What's the first thing that God creates? Light. Why is that the case? Do you want to know why? Because light is the material thing that most perfectly reflects God. Now, I could have a whole video talking about light and how light is this amazing image for the Trinity. Just to unpack that a tiny bit, light is threefold: red, green, and blue, the three primary colors that when joined together make invisible light. Just like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together are God, the Trinity, whom we cannot see and yet reveal everything by their existence, just as light reveals everything that we can see. And without light, we can't see anything. Okay, I'm not even going to go into that. So how does that first beatitude reveal something about the mystery of God? It's in this way. Jesus, in revealing the Beatitudes, is painting an image for us of what his Father is really like. Because at the end of the day, that's the goal of Jesus. Jesus' goal is to give us the Holy Spirit to transform us. He reconciles us, and the two of them bring us to the Father so that we can become perfect images of the Father. That's why you can say that each of the Beatitudes are actually describing God. And where do those traits originate? In God the Father. If you're following what I'm saying, God the Father is the first one who is poor in spirit. And when Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," they're blessed because they're imaging God the Father. This is the immense mystery and irony that God the Father, who is the wealthiest of all, the richest being in all existence is at the same time deeply poor in spirit. Why? Because he pours himself out so much into the Son and into all creation that everything he has, he gives away. He is the first poor in spirit. And when we strive to be like that, we imitate him. Do you understand? That's why Jesus in the garden says, "All that you have is mine and all that I have is yours." Because that's what it means to be a father, to give everything away, to empty yourself, just as Jesus does on the cross, God the Father did first in heaven. That's the great mystery of this beatitude. That's why it's such a treasure to be poor in spirit. And when we see people that are generous, we are seeing images of the Father. Now, let me give you an example from one of the American saints that highlights this beatitude so beautifully. And ironically, she was the richest one to begin with, Saint Catherine Drexel. Now, Saint Catherine Drexel grew up in Philadelphia. Her father was immensely wealthy to where they were known in all of that society. And she, as a little girl, would see her father give that money away to the poor with immense charity. He died. She had in her heart the desire to one day be a nun. Now, even in the newspapers, they realized that she was the heir to all of the Drexel estate. She inherited it and in her life in the convent, used all of that money to establish schools, universities, convents, to help the poor throughout the United States. So she, despite the fact that she was rich, throughout her whole life, poured out all of that wealth on others. And to this day, we have institutions named after her. For instance, Drexel University, along with many other institutions. So she shows us perfectly that despite that she was rich, she gave it all away, and in this sense, was poor in spirit. My friends, if you knew how spiritually rich it was to be poor, you would give all of your possessions away tomorrow. If you knew how amazing it is to image God the Father in pouring your wealth out on other people, tomorrow you would establish a charity, and the next day you would have nothing left. We have all been deceived by the allure of wealth. Open your eyes to the truth and step on this rung of the ladder. Climb with me. Climb through this beatitude. Embrace it. Do not be afraid to be poor. Do not listen to the lies that the devil tells you when you strive to be more simple and poor in your life. And all of those times that you don't get paid what you want, that you don't make as much money as you want, that you don't have the house or the car or whatever, see those as blessings. Because blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom